Morning, everybody. How's it going? Now, did some men climb up Mount Snowdon yesterday?
Yes.
My wife Lily and I happened to be there as well yesterday, but with a school trip. But because of health and safety and stuff, we weren't actually allowed to climb up the mountain because there was apparently a medium chance of thunder and lightning. But obviously, you guys were very, you know, hard and manly and took the risk and made it up. We ended up just driving 5 hours to kind of walk around the bottom of a mountain, and it just drizzled the whole time. And my abiding memory of the weekend was during lunch looking over and just seeing a tarpaulin just with all the girls huddled underneath it, like sheltering, eating soggy sandwiches. So it wasn't quite the trip that I signed up for when Lily said, "Do you want to come and climb Mount Snowdon?" But you know, it was good fun in its own way. If I haven't met you before, my name's Nick. I'm married to Lily, who's a teacher. I work as a graphic designer, and it's a real privilege to be here this morning speaking with you. As Sarah was saying, we're continuing our series called Fruitfulness on the Front Lines, looking at the six M's that will kind of help us to think about how we can be witnesses of Christ and his gospel on our front lines, whether that's you know, amongst our family, amongst our friends, at work, when we're volunteering, when we're in clubs, when we're down at the gym, when we're out and about in the church, in the local community. Wherever we find ourselves interacting and mixing with people, that is our front lines. We have a prayer meeting that happens on Tuesday evenings here in church, just in the back room there, and we often... every week we pray for our front lines as a general kind of community, but also specifically. And one of the key ways we can do that is by reading forms that you guys have filled out. I'm sure quite a few of you will have filled one out already. But if you haven't, they're kind of down here at the front. And there's a little box here and some pens. And if you fancy filling one of those out, it's really helpful. It just helps us to know what we can pray about. And how we can support you guys. And also just a quick plug as well, to come along to that prayer meeting if you can make it. It's a really good time. It's a great way to be church together. So this morning we are looking at the first M, which is kind of the real foundation of the whole series. It's modeling godly character. I was reflecting as I was kind of preparing the notes for this talk that our characters probably are one of the only things we can really take with us into the next life. You know, we come into this world with nothing, we leave with nothing, they say, certainly nothing material, but I do think one thing we do leave with is our character and the things that we've learned about God. All those ways that we have learned to become more like him. So it's a really interesting, it's a really cool topic. This morning, I've kind of focused on two main books as I was preparing my notes. One of them is by Mark Green, who kind of put this series together called Fruitfulness on the Front Line. I'd highly recommend that if you want to dig deeper into the topic. And then also a book called Revolution of Character by Dallas Willard, who's an American pastor and writer. And he's written quite a few excellent books, actually, about the spiritual life, spiritual transformation, and developing godly character. So we went to Mount Snowdon yesterday. I wonder if anyone's ever been to the Grand Canyon, a lot bigger kind of area of mountains and rocks in Arizona, the United States of America. I've never been, actually. Lily has, but it's somewhere that's kind of on my bucket list of places to go. It's a vast kind of national park in the US, 1,900 square kilometers, and there's a river, the Colorado River, that's 277 miles long that runs all the way through it. Over 5 million visitors go annually to see the Grand Canyon. It's one of the wonders of the natural world. If you could jump in a time machine and go back about 5 million years, the sight wouldn't be quite so spectacular. It would have just been pretty much flat desert and rock. There wasn't any water there. But over the course of 5 million years, the Colorado River, I mean, it wouldn't have been called that, but what we call today the Colorado River, has been cutting through the rock and creating this kind of ribbon of water that stretches, and it's gone through layer after layer, very slowly eroding away all these different layers of rock, and it's created something spectacular and wonderful to look at. Where there was dry rock and desert, there is now life. And I think this is actually a really helpful image, metaphor for character transformation, for becoming more like Jesus in our Christian walk. And I'll hopefully kind of explain why as we go throughout the talk. So I think there's two kind of main aspects to character transformation. Firstly, salvation, and secondly, sanctification. Two kind of theological words that begin with S, but are quite helpful to kind of understanding this concept. So salvation is the thing that happens when we become Christians, when we accept the gospel. And the Bible tells us that it's a miracle. It happens in an instant that we are taken from death to life. And we celebrated that miracle a few weeks ago in our baptism service, where going down in the water and then coming out of it represents that transition that happens in an instant. But it can be a little bit confusing because we read in Corinthians, I think it is, where Paul says, "In Christ you are a new creation, the old is gone and the new has come." And we sort of witness that in baptism, but then sometimes we look at our lives and it seems like we're not always new creations. You don't have to have tried to walk as a Christian for very long to realize that it's quite difficult and we're not perfect. We still mess up, still make the same mistakes that we used to beforehand. And that's where this sanctification process comes in. First we have salvation and then sanctification, and it's kind of a, you know, long word really for becoming more like Jesus. So in that instant when we're saved, something spiritual, something amazing happens and we're guaranteed to be with God forever. But it's almost like our old selves need to come into line with our new selves. And this is one of the things we talk about a lot in church. It's discipleship. It's walking in step with the Spirit. It's learning to become more like Jesus. It's choosing the path of life over the path of death when we're confronted with temptations and choices to make in our life. Every day we have an option to choose life or to choose the old way of living. And the Holy Spirit is our kind of key partner in this process of sanctification, of becoming more holy, of becoming more like Jesus. And that's what I'm talking about this morning when I'm talking about character transformation. And in the same way that 5 million years ago, the hard rock and desert in Arizona didn't have any life to it, our hearts, before Jesus comes into them, before he changes and transforms them, are like hard rock and desert. They're spiritually dead. There's little life in them. In Zechariah, the prophet is speaking to the people of Israel. The verses will come up behind us. And he talks about how our hearts can be like stone, like flint. And the word of the Lord came to Zechariah. "This is what the Lord Almighty said. Administer true justice. Show mercy and compassion to one another. Do not oppress the widow or the fatherless, the foreigner or the poor. Do not plot evil against each other." But they refused to pay attention. Stubbornly, they turned their backs and covered their ears. They made their hearts as hard as flint and would not listen to the law or to the words that the Lord Almighty had sent by his Spirit through the earlier prophets. So the Lord Almighty was very angry. And like other places in the Bible, Zechariah here is saying to us that if we don't follow God's way, if we don't choose his path, then our hearts are like hard stone, like hard flint. There's no spiritual life within them. And there's only one thing that can cut through that hard rock. At the Grand Canyon, it was the water flowing over those rocks over millions of years that was able to cut through. And for us as humans who have sinful, hard hearts, the only thing that can cut through them is the Holy Spirit that the Bible talks about being like water. In John 7, 37 to 39, we learn this about the Holy Spirit. On the last and greatest day of the festival, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, "Let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as Scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from within them." By this he meant the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were later to receive. So it is through the act of the Holy Spirit, one of the members of the Trinity, that we are able to be softened, or we're able to be shaped and molded in our hearts in such a way that God's life can flow through us. Mark Green, who wrote the Fruitfulness on the Frontline book, says that modeling godly character is letting the life of Christ flow in and through us. It is about exhibiting the fruit of the Spirit in tough times as well as easy times. And the interesting thing about the Grand Canyon is that because the water has flowed through it throughout this time, it has created something that people want to come and see that's attractive. 5 million people make the effort to go to quite a remote location every year just to look at it. And the same thing can happen with us, in our hearts, in our characters. Given time, if we walk in step with the Spirit, if we follow Jesus' commands, if we let him change and transform us, we become more like Christ. And Christ had the most attractive character of any person that has ever lived. He was so kind and generous and gentle and brave and courageous. And people flocked to him. We read as he went throughout the region in which he was living in the Middle East about 2,000 years ago, the crowds were constantly flocking to him. It was actually a bit of an issue for him because he was constantly getting overwhelmed and swamped. Everyone just wanted to talk to him, and he didn't even have capacity to speak with them because there were so many. But he had this attractive, magnetic, charismatic character and personality. People knew that if they could just have a conversation with them, you know, he would change things in an instant. He could transform things. He had the words of life. And the same can happen for us too, because we become like him. That's the miracle of sanctification. We have first the miracle of salvation and then the miracle of sanctification. We are saved, we are released from death, and then we become just like God, like Jesus himself. And I don't know if you guys, you know, look around in our church community. I certainly do, and I see people who are just full of the life and love of God, and they have such amazing characters because over years they've been growing and developing the fruits of the Spirit. In Galatians 5, we read what they are. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Dallas Willard says that the water of heaven flows through our being until we are fully changed people. We wake each morning breathing the air of this new world. We experience a new consciousness, and our character is transformed. We drop our deceitful practices, our insecurity, our defensiveness, our envy and our slander, and we move outward towards others in genuine love. A couple of years back, I went to a wedding with Lily, and during the prayers, an older guy stood up, and I don't think I've ever been so kind of moved by someone's prayers before. He was praying for the couple, and in his words were just such life and light and faith, and his character just shone through in the words that he was saying. I'd never met him before. And afterwards, I said to Lily, who was that guy? I was actually moved to tears by what you're saying. And Lily said, oh, he's an amazing person. Him and his wife kind of adopted the mother of the girl, Helen, that was getting married when her parents died when she was quite young. And they almost became like surrogate parents to her. And then Helen, who was getting married, who he was praying for, almost became like a granddaughter to this couple. And apparently over the years, they just stepped into that gap that had been left and were just so generous in many ways and so supportive to that family. And we were actually another baby dedication a couple of weeks ago for his sort of, would have been great-grandchild. Not biologically, but certainly in terms of, you know, the community that they had together. He was like a great-grandfather to this little baby. And at the gathering we had after the service, he spent the whole time in the kitchen serving teas and coffees. And everyone he gave a tea and coffee to, he just had this massive smile on his face. And he was just blessing everyone. And even though I don't know him, even though I've only encountered him twice in those couple of moments, his character just shone through. And something of that magnetic personality of Christ just in him after he's lived those years walking with God, allowing the Holy Spirit to change and transform his heart. So with our remaining time this morning, which isn't too long, I just want to make 2 points. That we will see transformation on our front lines if we first see transformation within our own hearts. And secondly, character transformation is something that we can actively pursue. So the revolution of Jesus Christ starts with the human heart. Oswald Chambers said it is the unseen and the spiritual in people that determine the outward and actual. When Jesus was walking around, one thing that's really interesting is he was way more interested in what was going on in people's hearts than what was going on in the external world. He could have created an empire here on earth quite easily. He had the power to do that. He could have established an earthly kingdom and spread his message in the kind of normal worldly way of doing things. But instead, he took 12 very average, normal guys and taught them how to be good people, how to be like God, how to have characters that would reflect the gospel. And in doing so, he sparked a revolution. And true followers of Christ, like those disciples, have started first with their character and then the great things that they've been able to do that followed on from that have all been based on what God has done in their hearts. That's the true religion that the Bible talks about. And it sets in contrast to that the religion of the Pharisees that we read about, who were obsessed by the externals. God was barely able to penetrate their hard hearts that were like stone, like flint, because they wouldn't let him in. All they really cared about was what people thought about them, the status that they had in society, the laws that they lived by in order to try and get right with God. But they were just missing him completely and what they were doing. And this is what Jesus had to say about them. Don't you see that whatever enters the mouth goes into the stomach and then out of the body? But the things that come out of a person's mouth, from the heart, these defile them. For out of the heart comes evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false testimony, and slander. And the answer to the world's problems, the answer to the issues that we have in society, can't be dealt with by the external things. The general election's coming up in a few weeks' time, and when I was chatting to Lily earlier in the week about it, she turned to me and said, whatever happens, you know, pretty much everyone's going to be disappointed because, you know, politicians consistently let us down. They promise one thing and they deliver another thing. And I don't think that's because they're all bad people. I mean, some of them probably are. But actually, you know, it's just very hard to create a good society, a society that works for everyone, because it's a broken world we live in. Humanity has had thousands of years to try and create the perfect society. Many people have thought that we could. We've never been able to. And given thousands more, we never will be able to. Because the problem isn't out there, you know, it's in here. And all of us, you know, create these issues and problems, and the only way that they can be solved is by God changing and transforming from within. Jesus' revolution is about the inside out, the upside down, and it's completely counterintuitive to the worldly way of fixing problems and solving things. And it requires such humility, actually, to admit that that's where the problem is. Not to keep looking out at everyone else and blaming everyone else, but to turn first to ourselves and say, yes, the problem is with me and I need help in changing it. So if we allow God to do that, if we allow the Holy Spirit to work in us and change and transform us, then the promise is that we will start to see transformation in the externals, on our front lines, where we spend our lives. And that mission that God calls us to begins with our character. I think often we jump straight to the Great Commission at the end of the Gospels when Jesus says, go out, take the Gospels to the nation, transform the world with the things I've taught you. We jump straight there and we forget all that went before. And all of the work we do as church, as Christians, in wanting to share the good news of the kingdom of God has to start with the difficult bit, really. Sometimes it feels like the boring bit, the hard bit, but that transformational work in our own hearts. A friend of Lily and mine, Emily, became a Christian when she was about 19, and she said that one of the most important things that kind of turned her towards God was witnessing how her cousin, who was a Christian, lived his life and how different it was compared to how she was living and how her friends around her were living. And her cousin was just being himself. And I wonder how many people we know and we encounter in our day-to-day lives who are like Emily and are just close to you know, knowing God, close to choosing to follow Jesus. And actually, all it would take is for us just to be ourselves in that context, be like Jesus amongst those people who are like Emily. And actually, God can really use us to witness about who he is just through simply being present, being there. There's something just so wonderfully simple, actually, about this message that, you know, evangelism, sharing the good news, can feel like such a burden, so difficult. I often feel like it is, but you know, the most important part of it, actually, the biggest part of it, is just living our lives, being planted, being rooted where we are, and just allowing the light of Christ to shine out of us, allowing the Holy Spirit to work those channels into the harder areas of our hearts so that the Holy Spirit can flow out of us. So this character transformation can seem a long way off. We know it can take a long time, but we can actually really actively pursue it and we can see real change in our lives. It's not a passive process. We don't just sit back and allow God to do it. We have to work with him and partner with him. The kind of one of the temptations in, you know, trying to become more like Jesus, that we just try really hard and we kind of summon up our willpower and, you know, try to become better people in our own strength. And that's kind of one of the traps we can fall into. And the other is that we do just expect it all to happen and God just to do it without us even trying. But I think it is somewhere in between. It's an interactive relationship with the Holy Spirit as we journey with him, as we walk in step with him through the challenges and the trials of life. It's a little bit like receiving a gift. On your birthday, a friend might go out to the shops, select a gift that you're going to like, take it back, wrap it up, and kind of bring it around to you. But what you have to do is actually accept it from them, physically take it from them, unwrap it, then use it and enjoy it. And that's a little bit what it's like with the Holy Spirit as he helps us to change in our characters and become more like him it's a gift, but we have to receive it. We have to unwrap it, receive it, and use it. Dallas Willard said, we must both receive God's grace, but also work with God to see change. So spiritual formation is both a profound manifestation of God's gracious action through his word and spirit, and something we are responsible for before God and can set about achieving in a sensible, systematic manner. So I just want to briefly suggest four strategies for pursuing this character transformation. It's a strange idea that we can do it systematically, but I think actually we really can think about it in that way. So firstly, we should spend time reflecting on our character with the Holy Spirit. I think actually the true spiritual reality of our hearts is often hidden from us and veiled from us. We can think we know what motivates us and drives us, where our desires and our passions come from, but actually it's so complicated and it's beyond our understanding a lot of the time. And we need to ask the Holy Spirit, what's going on in my heart? What needs to change? Why am I reacting and responding to these circumstances in this way? It's confusing. Even if people know us really well, often they can't see either. But we can come before the Holy Spirit in prayer, in reflection, and we can say, Lord, what do you need to do? And help me to change. I know that if I've ever come before God, he doesn't let me down if I say, Lord, what's an area that you'd like to change in my life? And he can quite easily put his finger on something and bring to mind a circumstance or an attitude that I wouldn't have even thought of by myself. He's very good at doing that, at challenging us, at helping us. I think also we should practice the spiritual disciplines. It would take a whole series just to scratch the surface of the spiritual disciplines that we read about in the Bible and through Christian tradition. But if you want to kind of, you know, look further into that, then I'd recommend Richard Foster's book, Celebration of Discipline. And I just went through and noted down the different chapter headings. And some of these will ring a bell with you. But there are the inward disciplines of meditation, fasting, prayer, and study. We've got a Bible course coming up that Sarah was talking about earlier. That's a great opportunity to practice that discipline of study. The outward disciplines, simplicity, solitude, submission, and service. The corporate disciplines, confession, worship, guidance, and celebration. And my third strategy is linked to that last one there of the spiritual disciplines, of the corporate disciplines. It's about church community. Lean on the support that we have here. From our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ, from our leaders. This character transformation stuff is hard, it's difficult, it's not meant to be done alone. But we can rely on each other, we can lean on each other for help, support, and understanding as we strive to become more like Jesus. And finally, take small steps of obedience. The reality is that character transformation can be hard, it takes a long time, but it comes down to those little decisions often in the day-to-day that don't seem particularly significant, but we know what they are. We have our conscience. We have the Holy Spirit to guide us. We know when it's right or wrong. And often those little choices really add up to more significant things. And we can look back on our life and see maybe if we took the wrong path, how we can veer off. But if every day we're obedient and we take the right path, take the right step, we'll end up going in the right way, staying on the straight and narrow. So just wrapping up, if we do follow God's way, if we do listen to the promptings of the Spirit over time, we will become like the Grand Canyon, as it were. Our hearts will be changed and transformed from hard stone and flint, where there's little growth, where there's just dry barrenness. And they'll be transformed to places of life and hope and joy, where the Holy Spirit can flow and provide blessings for us and for those around us. And we can become a wonder, as it were, where people want to come and gather and be with us and spend time with us. And this isn't just as individuals, but this is us as the church, as a community. We want to be a group of people that are like a light on a lampstand. You know, we want to be people that the rest of society looks to for hope and guidance. We want to be a place of happiness, of just joy and light and laughter. When I was thinking about some people in my life who I can kind of look to as examples of this, as inspiration, because often that's a great way to kind of be working on our own characters, to look at others like that. I thought of an older couple, Chris and Malcolm, who've mentored Lily and I over the last few years. And they, about 10, 15 years ago, I think, sold their house to start a traveling ministry, and they travel around the UK meeting with different groups of people, kind of blessing them, helping them. They've done a lot of work with AIDS victims, and they do a lot of work with people in ministry, and they support them, pray for them, love them. And they have hearts and lives that are wholly dedicated to God. And there's so many examples of the ways in which their characters shine through. They're so generous. But recently, Chris actually got taken into hospital, and she had an attack of pneumonia and other issues, and was in intensive care for 2 weeks. And she kind of came out of hospital, but was set back kind of very far in terms of how she could live her normal life. And she's really struggling at the moment just to do day-to-day tasks. And they sent out an email to kind of friends and family, just, you know, updating us on the situation and asking for prayer. And one of the things that they said in the email just really struck me as a testament of their character and faith. They said, "We haven't forgotten that these are merely temporary frustrations and to be thankful for life itself. Please pray that we will remain open to all that the Lord has and would say to us in this season, and to receive all that he has prepared for us for what's ahead, as well as to recover from what's behind." And I thought that was such a testament to their character, that even in this trial, even this difficult time, they're still full of life and faith and hope, and they're still actually blessing those around them with such wisdom. So I just want to finish with verse from Amos, the prophet Amos, who talks about this idea of the river of God, the river of life flowing through us, flowing through our hearts and our characters. And just an encouragement, really, for us all to be inspired and to push forward so that we can become people like that, people after Christ himself. "But let justice roll on like a river, righteousness like a never-failing stream." Do you want to just bow your heads, maybe shut your eyes, and I'll pray. Father God, we're so grateful, so thankful for the promise of life and hope that you give us in the Bible. We're so thankful for the example of Jesus, who we can look towards for a model of how we can live our lives. And we pray that as we seek to become more like him, by your grace, you would enable us to change bad attitudes in our hearts, change sinful behaviors in our lives, so that we can resemble more closely the character of Jesus. Lord, we pray that even now this morning, Lord, as we're praying, you might be pointing out areas that you want to change, that you know aren't right. Lord, that you would show us those areas that are dry and hard and barren, and that, Lord, you would allow your spirit to flow over those areas and begin cutting away that rock, Lord, molding and crafting channels through which your spirit, your life can flow. And Lord, we pray that as we go into this week, you would just give us renewed strength, renewed energy to make the right choice, even in those little steps. to choose life over death at every opportunity we have, and to experience the love and the joy and peace that comes from walking with you. Amen.